my chance with crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make to heaven in the middle of it. Rest make to heaven in the middle. We are. Rest make to heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Coming up will be a speech given today down in Florida by Vice President Michael Pence. And he gives a fine speech, and it's a rousing crowd, very, very enthusiastic crowd. And I think that's one of the main differences that we see between the Joe Biden campaign and the President Trump-Pence campaign, is that we see a much more enthusiastic turnout for Trump, President Trump. Now that, you know, he had that sickness, that he's over, hopefully. He hasn't been, you know, just on the speech today was on the south lawn of the White House. But he was up in the balcony, well separated from the good social distancing from the crowd. So that protected everyone today. But as a result, here's some of the factors I believe that will play into this election that are not being observed or properly reported on. They've done all these polls, and they're all, you know, slanted to start with for the Democrats, usually. But in this case, there's a lot of people that they polled that are misinforming, I think, the pollsters. And I think the way it's working is that they'll call up, say, a Trump voter or someone that they think that's undecided yet or whatever, and that person that answers the phone is actually a Trump supporter or has decided to vote for Trump. But when they're asking these questions, they don't want to be identified as a Trump ad or a Trump supporter, because these groups out there have gotten pretty vicious in attacking Trump supporters, whether they had a hat on or a t-shirt or a banner or a flag or whatever. So it looks like to me that many of the Trump supporters are clandestine, or you could say, supporters. And this, in other words, you won't see bumper stickers on there or little signs on their cars. They won't be going out to many events. They'll stay at home. They won't express much to their friends about at work, say, as to who they're supporting. And I think crypto, you could say they're crypto Trump supporters out there by the millions, I think, that are being underreported by these pollsters. Another thing, too, is that many of your Democrats, your moderate Democrats, do not like at all the AOC and the Bernie Sanders takeover of the Joe Biden campaign like they did. So many moderate Democrats and some of your, you know, honest liberals there that are not socialist communists, but are more moderate in their views along the old liberal democratic line, are very disturbed, I could say, I guess the word would be, about what's happened to the Democratic Party at this time and that takeover by AOC and all that. And Bernie Sanders' influence, and he accepted 108. He put out and published and integrated much of that socialist communist idea being brought forward by these very radicals. He integrated that into his campaign. He won't call it communism, but he'll call it socialism. But many of those precepts and so forth. And Bernie, is an avowed communist, Bernie Sanders is. He hasn't backed off at all. He's traveling under the auspices or under the facade or hiding behind the facade of with socialism as his banner cry now. But Bernie Sanders is an avowed communist, in my opinion. And he's been that way for a long time. And I don't think he's going to change his view at all. But so, and then we have about a 50 to 60 year period of time where what you had that occurred in this country is that early in the 19th and the 20th century, in 1900s, you had a rise of progressivism, socialism, and communism, disguised at times, you know, in different parties and things like this. And those people were always there, okay? Leon Trotsky in 1917 was putting together communist cells in New York City. He went over and helped foment the Bolsheviki Revolution in St. Petersburg is where they started. So you've always had a large following of, you could say, fellow travelers that were, you know, either socialist or communist in flavor or by degree, see. And so that has always been there, and so that can't be dismissed. But what's happened since then is that you had an influx before World War II. You had an influx into the country, into Columbia and other universities from the Frankfurt School. And these were an avowed communist group called the Frankfurt School. And they came in and started writing, whether it was novels or articles or something. They started fomenting a communist view in their teachings at the universities. So what happened was we had a larger and larger, progressively larger number of professors in colleges and universities professing Marxism as a minimum and hardcore communism as a maximum, you know, Marxist communism. Even now we've had some people come in with Mao Zedong, which actually the Yale in China movement that came out of the University of Yale was Yale had theology students go over, and they were going to spread so-called Christianity. But they were tied back to the Skull and Bones and so forth. So later, after they got started in China, Mao Zedong was one of their students in one of their schools over there, one of their main schools. So it's hypothesized and very strong opinions and some evidence that Mao Zedong was schooled by the during the Yale in China movement and period, and they were kicked out of there eventually. And there's other evidence brought forward by the John Birch Society that says that Chiang Kai-shek, who was supported supposedly by the American interest, his efforts were sabotaged and material and help actually was given clandestinely and secretly to Mao Zedong to bring about a communist China. Now, if you're looking at this from the British geopolitical genius, is that they are, they're masters of mind control and geopolitics. First, they gave them opium, and that kept China down for a long time from developing. Because before that, China was becoming a world power in trade. So the British started importing opium into there, and that destroyed China for decades, if not, you know, a century or so. And then they started, you know, grooming Mao Zedong, by some accounts, to take over, and they supplied him weaponry, assets, and money, and brought him to power over Chiang Kai-shek, who retreated to Taiwan and set up, you know, his forces there, but not on mainland China. Those forces are eventually still there, but it's turned into more of a business, you could say, location for people. So what's going on in this country since then? All throughout the 20th century, there were indications. Joseph McCarthy uncovered communist elements in the State Department. Alger Hiss was identified. He lived in the White House during FDR's administration. He was finally outed as a communist agent. You had interceptions that were done by the ASA, which is what I was in the Army Security Agency. And some of those intercepts were KGB messages flowing to Soviet Russian spies in America. And what happened was the Rosenberg spy ring that was stealing our hydrogen bomb secrets from New Mexico were outed. But also Alger Hiss was in there as one of those that was also outed as a top-level Soviet Russian spy. So we've had that ongoing all the time. In the universities, they had these cryptic professors teaching Marxist communism, because where this movement is funded and who's really behind it are the British. The British, through the Fabian Society, not only had brought socialism to UK, but also they had a Fabian American, you could say branch of the Fabian Society, the Fabian Society in America. So they've been pushing this socialism, communism thing for the world, because what they basically want to do is they're continuing a corporate fascist type of system at the very top, and that's the pinnacle of the pyramid of power. And the lower, you could say, levels would be that they're creating a world communist plantation, a government, and through benefits and entitlement programs, they'll keep everyone in line. So in this new world communist state ruled by the, you could say, the corporate fascist, you won't, if you are anti-government, if you're anti against their system and you speak out, you'll be ostracized, you'll be cut off, you'll be decapitalized, you won't get any help whatsoever. So that's the way I see it going down now. That's why these people like Antifa and these other groups, anarchists, are getting funded by these top-level, you could say, corporate fascist groups. And they're funneling it through the Tides Corporation and all these other lower level. But I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight to this program. And anyway, Vice President Pence gave a fine speech down in Florida. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you.
Your Congressman Webster, all the great families here at the Villages, my fellow Americans, it is great to be back in the Sunshine State. It is great to be back in Trump country. Thank you all for coming out today. And what a privilege it is to be here with my friend. I heard of Congressman Daniel Webster when he was serving in your state house. He was Speaker of the House. A man of integrity and principle. And I can tell you, in all my 12 years in the Congress, and ever since, I've never served with someone more committed to conservative principles or a stronger ally of our president and this administration. Join me in thanking Congressman Daniel Webster for all he's done for Florida and for the cause. But Daniel and I are here for one reason and one reason only. And that is that Florida and America need 4 more years of President Donald Trump in the White House. It's on, everybody, and the road to victory runs right through Florida. It's so good to be with all of you. I had a little bit of a busy week. I don't know if you got to see it, but I was over in Utah the other night. We had a little debate with Kamala Harris. And some people think we did all right. You know, let me be clear. That debate was not just a debate between two candidates for vice president. It was a debate between two visions. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want higher taxes, open borders, socialized medicine. They want to abolish fossil fuels. They want taxpayer funding of abortion. They want to defund the police and pack the court. President Trump's vision, we've rebuilt our military. We cut taxes. We roll back regulation. We've unleashed American energy. We secured our border, supported law enforcement, and stood for life, liberty, and the Constitution of the United States. I mean, when you compare the Biden-Harris agenda with the agenda of President Donald Trump, the choice is clear. If you cherish faith, freedom, law, and order, and life, in 24 days, we got to reelect President Donald Trump for 4 more years. You know, 4 years ago, we inherited a military hollowed out by devastating budget cuts, an economy struggling to break out of the slowest recovery since the Great Depression. Terrorism was on the rise, and we witnessed a steady assault on our most cherished values. But in 3 short years, I'm proud to report, as the father of a United States Marine and the father-in-law of a United States Navy pilot, we've rebuilt our military. We restored the arsenal of democracy. And we are finally giving our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard the support they deserve. You know, I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to a president who cares so deeply about the men and women of our armed forces. And we've stood with those who serve. But we've also stood with all of you who have served in the uniform of the United States. You know, when Joe Biden was vice president, you all remember it. We saw years of heartbreaking scandal at the VA that shocked the conscience of the nation. I mean, we literally saw America's heroes perishing in waiting lines to get health services at the VA. But under President Donald Trump, those days are over. Our president signed the most sweeping reform of the VA in 50 years. We fired thousands of VA employees that were not giving our veterans the care that they earned in the uniform of the United States. And Veterans Choice is now available for every veteran in America. You know, I know here at the Villages, there's a lot of you men and women that have served in uniform. So if you're able, would you just either stand or would you raise your hand in the air and give us a chance to say thank you one more time. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. God bless you. You know, we didn't just rebuild our military. Under this president's leadership in our first 3 years, we revived and created the greatest economy the world has ever known. Where Joe Biden wants to raise taxes, President Trump cut taxes across the board for working families and businesses, large and small. This president actually repealed more federal red tape in our first 3 years than any administration in American history. We unleashed American energy. We're now a net exporter of energy for the first time in 70 years. And we fought for free and fair trade that puts American jobs and American workers first. And in those first 3 years, businesses large and small created more than 7 million good-paying jobs, including 550,000 jobs right here in the Sunshine State. So we stood for our national defense and for jobs. Standing here not far from the Space Coast, I'm proud to report to you, under President Donald Trump, we have renewed American leadership in manned space exploration. We reconstituted the National Space Council, and the President asked me to be the chairman. He didn't actually know that when our kids were little, we actually vacationed at Cape Canaveral just to go see the rockets. That my Daniel, you got to know, the only committee I ever asked to be on in the Congress was the NASA subcommittee. So when he asked me to lead the National Space Council, I counted it an incredible privilege. And under this president's leadership, we've secured historic funding for NASA. And this year, we returned American astronauts to space on an American rocket from right here at Kennedy Space Center for the first time in 10 years. And under the president's leadership, by 2024, we're going to see the next man and the first woman land on moon, and then we're headed to Mars. Under President Donald Trump, NASA is back. And under this president, not only have we stood for our security, for American jobs, and for American leadership in space, but every single day, President Donald Trump has stood for the rule of law. We've appointed more than 200 conservatives to our federal courts at every level, and I'm here to tell you, they are all principled men and women who will uphold all the God-given liberties in our Constitution, like the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Now, last month, we rightly paused as a nation to honor the life and service of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But when the memorials were over, President Trump fulfilled his constitutional duty. And he nominated a principled, brilliant, conservative woman to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Now, I'm a big fan of Judge Barrett, and it's not just because she's from Indiana. I'm telling you what, Judge Amy Coney Barrett is an inspiring person. She's a brilliant and principled jurist. She'll do great credit on the Supreme Court. Now, the confirmation hearings are set for this Monday. And the American people expect Democrats in the Senate to give Judge Barrett a dignified hearing this time. But we have reason to be concerned. You all remember when Judge Barrett went through her confirmation 2 years ago for the Court of Appeals, the Democrat chairman of the Judiciary Committee actually criticized Judge Barrett for her Catholic faith. She said that, quote, the dogma lives loudly in you. And Hollywood elites have already begun to criticize Judge Barrett and her family for their Christian faith. Well, I got news for the Democrats and their friends in Hollywood. The dogma lives loudly in me. The dogma lives loudly in you. And the right to live and work and worship according to the dictates of our conscience lives loudly in the Constitution of the United States of America. In America, we cherish the freedom of religion of every American of every faith. And these attacks on Judge Barrett's faith got to stop. So after the Senate does their job to advise and consent, I'll make a prediction. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is going to be Justice Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to fill that seat. You know, the American people actually also deserve to know. The Democrats in Washington are actually talking about adding seats to the Supreme Court in the biggest power grab in American history. It's called packing the court. Now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won't admit it. But after 150 years with 9 seats on the Supreme Court of the United States, they're planning to pack the court. fact, Joe Biden refused to answer the question in his debate with the president. Kamala Harris refused to ask the question during our debate. And just yesterday in Nevada, Joe Biden was asked by a reporter, if don't voters deserve to know what you do? And Joe Biden replied, quote, no, they don't. Well, come on, Joe. The American people deserve a straight answer. When you're running for the highest office in the land, the American people deserve to know whether you're going to respect the highest court in the land. You know, there's only one explanation why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won't answer the question. It's because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to pack the court. But we're not going to let it happen. We're going to preserve an independent judiciary. We're going to preserve our constitutional order. We're going to reelect President Donald Trump for 4 more years in the White House. So we've stood for the rule of law, prosperity and security. We've stood for an independent judiciary, and we always will. And every single day of this administration, President Donald Trump has stood with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line of law enforcement, and we always will. That's probably why you have police associations around the country that are endorsing our president's reelection. In fact, I learned for the first time ever, the Florida Police Chief Association endorsed President Donald Trump's re-election. Let me take this opportunity to thank Sheriff Jeff Parson and all the membership of the Florida Police Chief Association. And also, can we just show these law enforcement officers how much we appreciate all they do every day to protect and serve our families? You know, oh, we're back to blue. You know, I like to tell people, all my heroes wear uniforms. When I was growing up in a small town in Indiana, we used to drive back to Chicago where my parents grew up. We'd go to my grandparents' house and my uncle would come walking out wearing that police uniform, have that sidearm, man. I got to tell you, me and my three brothers just look up at him in awe. And you all know. The men and women who serve in law enforcement in this country are some of the best people in America. And they deserve the respect of every American every single day. They do. Now, President Trump and I will always support the right of Americans to peaceful protest, enshrined in the Constitution. Rioting and looting is not peaceful protest. Burning businesses is not free speech. Violence against innocent civilians, the destruction of property, or violence against our police will not be tolerated, and those who do these things will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. For months, all Joe Biden talked about was peaceful protests as the American people watched their businesses and communities literally burn. At the debate this week, I invited Flora Westbrook, a wonderful African-American business owner in Minneapolis, to join us there. Flora told me about a few days after the killing of George Floyd how the protesters marched closer and closer to her business. And then that Friday night came. And a little salon that she had built 35 years ago was burned to the ground. Well, I talked to Flora yesterday and I told her. I said, Flora, we are with you today, and we are going to rebuild and have law and order in your city and every city in America for every American of every race and creed and color. So help us, God. You know, the truth is, Joe Biden would double down on the very policies that have led to violence in America. When you undermine support for those who protect and serve, you only embolden those who would do violence in our communities. Now, Joe Biden explains it all by saying that America is, quote, systemically racist. And he and his running mate just the other day have said that police have a, quote, implicit bias against minorities. When Joe Biden was asked if he'd cut funding to law enforcement, he said, yes, absolutely. And his running mate recently applauded the mayor of Los Angeles' announcement of cutting $150 million from the LAPD. But let me make you a promise. Under President Donald Trump, we're not going to defund the police. Not now, not ever. We're going to back the blue. What the president and I know, what you all know, we don't have to choose between supporting law enforcement and supporting our African American neighbors or any of the minorities or families who live in our major cities. We have done both for the last 3.5 years. We provided new resources for law enforcement, new personnel, and we've made historic investments in our African American, historically black colleges and universities. We saw the lowest unemployment ever recorded for African Americans, 9,000 opportunity zones in our major cities. We passed criminal justice reform. We have supported law enforcement, supported our African American neighbors, and we're going to keep on doing it for 4 more years. So I just want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for being here today. As you know, we've stood for the rule of law. We stood for law and order. And as I said before, we stood strong for the right of every American to live, to work, to worship according to the dictates of our conscience. You know, the freedom of religion has been called our first freedom. Then the First Amendment. And people of faith have no greater champion than President Donald Trump. From early on, the president took decisive action to restore the conscience rights of doctors and nurses, teachers, and religious charities. And President Donald Trump ended the last administration's assault on the Little Sisters of the Poor, and the Supreme Court voted 7-2 to make it permanent. It's amazing to think. When Joe Biden was vice president, they actually hauled a group of nuns who had taken a lifetime vow of poverty to serve the neediest among us. They hauled them into court to force them to compromise their faith to live under the standards of Obamacare. And you deserve to know Joe Biden recently said that he plans to do it again. He plans to reimpose the strictures of Obamacare on the Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious institutions. In fact, his running mate attacked one of our judicial nominees simply because they were a member of the Catholic Knights of Columbus. So let me make you a promise. With 4 more years of President Donald Trump in the White House, we're going to respect the religious freedom of every American of every faith. And we're going to end the assault on religious liberty once and for all. So it's been about security, it's been about prosperity, the rule of law, and our liberties. And I can't tell you how proud I am to be vice president, to a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life. where Joe Biden supports taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up to the moment of birth. President Trump took action early in our administration to suspend all funding, the Mexico City policy, no taxpayer dollars to provide or promote abortion around the world. He's renewed the Hyde Amendment to protect taxpayer money from ever being spent on abortion, and President Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in American history. So we've rebuilt our military, revived our economy, stood up for law, order, life, and liberties. And let me just say, none of that would have been possible in our first 3 years without the strong and consistent support of Senator Rick Scott and Senator Marco Rubio. And that's also why, here in his congressional district, we need you to re-elect Congressman Daniel Webster to a new Republican majority and retire Nancy Pelosi once and for all. You know, when you look at all that we accomplished in those first few years with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, there's only one conclusion you can draw. In 3 short years, we made America great again. It's true. And then the coronavirus struck from China. And I'm here to tell you, before the first documented case of community transmission in the United States, President Trump did what no other American president had ever done before. He suspended all travel from China, the second largest economy in the world. He put the health of America first. Now Joe Biden said that was hysterical. He said it was, quote, xenophobic. In fact, he wrote in USA Today back in January that travel bans would, quote, make things worse. But let me tell you, as the head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, I can tell you firsthand, President Trump's decision to suspend all travel from China bought us invaluable time to stand up the greatest national mobilization since World War II, and it saved countless American lives. During that time, we reinvented testing. More than 120 million tests done so far. We saw to the manufacture and delivery of literally billions of medical supplies to our incredible doctors and nurses and healthcare workers. We developed life-saving medicines. And I'm here to report that we're on track to have the first safe and effective coronavirus before the end of this year. And under Operation Warp Speed, we'll have tens of millions of doses available to administer to our most vulnerable. You know, the president just said on the South Lawn of the White House today, and I quote, "Through the power of American science and medicine, we will eradicate the China virus once and for all." And let me say on behalf of the President and the First Lady, how moved we've all been by the outpouring of prayers and concern for our first family over the last week. I spoke to the President this morning before I left for Florida, and I'm happy to report to you, President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania are doing great. But what the President and I know is the outpouring of support and concern and prayer from across the country for our first family is just reflective of the love and the concern and the prayers that Americans have shown to neighbors and friends impacted by this virus, and especially those impacted by loss. So can we just take a moment to give a round of applause for all of the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare workers, those in ministry, everyone that has been there for our families through this challenging time. We love you all. So as you showed through the Sunbelt outbreak, this summer here in Florida, we're showing across the country because of the cooperation of the American people, the leadership of our president. We're slowing the spread. We're protecting the vulnerable. And we're saving lives. And we're opening up America again. Now, it's amazing to think, after losing 22 million jobs at the height of this pandemic, in just the last 5 months, because of the foundation that we poured and because of the unprecedented recovery and relief support for families and businesses, we've already seen 11.5 million Americans go back to work, including 630,000 Americans right here in Florida. We're opening up America. And we're opening up America's schools. You know, about a week ago, the president announced we actually acquired about 100 million rapid tests that we're distributing to school nurses and school systems to help get our kids back in the classroom and keep them back in the classroom safe and sound. And can I just say, as I stand here in Florida, none of the progress this state has made would have been possible without not only the leadership of our president, our incredible health care workers, but none of it would have been possible without the strong, steady, and compassionate leadership of Governor Ron DeSantis. He's done an amazing job. Thank you, Governor. So we've gone through a time of testing. But I came down today on this cool and breezy Florida day. Because in 24 days, we're coming to a time for choosing. The choice in this election has never been clearer. And the stakes have never been higher. It's amazing to think, in the middle of a global pandemic, Joe Biden wants to raise taxes by $4 trillion. President Trump, not only has he passed the largest tax cuts and tax reform in history, but for 4 more years, we're going to keep cutting taxes for middle-class Americans and bring this economy all the way back and then some. Where Joe Biden wants to bury our economy under an avalanche of red tape, he had to be reminded in that presidential debate that he supports the Green New Deal. He even wants to put us back in the Paris Climate Accord. President Trump's been cutting red tape, got us out of the Paris Climate Accord. Our air and land are cleaner than any time in recorded history. Our water is the cleanest in the world, and America is now a net exporter of energy for the first time in nearly 70 years. And Joe Biden's for open borders, sanctuary cities, free lawyers for illegal immigrants. President Donald Trump made record investments in border security. We've already built 300 miles of that border wall on the southern border of the United States. And with 4 more years in the White House, we're going to fix this broken immigration system once and for all in a way that puts America first. When it comes to international trade, so important here in Florida, for what you manufacture and what you grow. Contrast couldn't be clearer. You know, out in the heartland, where I grew up, we saw the impact of NAFTA over the last 25 years. I literally saw entire communities shuttered, factories closed, jobs shipped south of the border. They were still shipping jobs south of the border before the paint was dry on the last election. And Joe Biden never lifted a finger to reform NAFTA in a way that put American workers first. But thanks to the man who wrote The Art of the Deal, America got a way better deal than NAFTA. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement is here. It is a win for Florida and a win for America. When we came into office, half of our international trade deficit was with China. We were literally losing $500 billion a year to China in trade. Joe Biden's been a cheerleader for communist China since day one. President Trump, he put China on notice. He said the era of economic surrender is over. We impose tariffs, and we're going to keep the pressure on until they level the playing field for American workers, American businesses, and respect American private property. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want a government takeover of health care. I mean, their version of Obamacare includes what's called a public option. You heard about it? They say then the government insurance would be out there competing with private insurance. Well, I said years ago when we had that debate when I was in Congress, you know, the government competes with the private sector the way an alligator competes with a duck. I mean, the truth of the matter is, they would put us on an inexorable path to socialized medicine. President Trump, we're going to reform health care. We're going to protect pre-existing conditions. We're going to lower the cost of health insurance without growing the size of government. We're going to harness the power of the private sector and make sure that America is never a socialist country on health care or anything else. You know, when you look at their agenda, it's clear. Joe Biden would be nothing more than a Trojan horse for the radical left. Now, Joe Biden has said that democracy is on the ballot. Well, I think our economic recovery is on the ballot. Law and order are on the ballot. But so are things far more foundational to our country. From the number of people nodding your heads, I think you get it. This election is not going to decide whether America is more conservative or more liberal, whether we're more Republican or more Democrat, more red or more blue. I think the choice in this election is whether America remains America. Whether we're going to allow Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to steer our nation on a path of more government, less freedom, less opportunity, path that ultimately leads to socialism and decline, or whether we're going to steer our nation in a renewed way on a path of freedom, individual responsibility, and all the ideals that have made this country great. Freedom! So for our freedom, for our highest ideals, we need to decide right here and right now that Joe Biden will never be president of the United States of America. We're going to re-elect President Donald Trump for 4 more years. So I need you to tell your neighbors and friends what 4 more years means. See, I was over in a parking lot at the Villages the other day. I ran into Mike. And he told me to tell you, 4 more years means more jobs. 4 more years means more judges. 4 more years means more support for our troops. 4 more years means more support for our police. And it's going to take at least 4 more years to drain that swamp. Draining it. You know, 4 years ago, a movement was born. A movement of everyday Americans from every walk of life. Here in Florida, you believe we could be prosperous again. You believe we could be strong again. You believe we could be respected again. You said yes to President Donald Trump in 2016, and I know Florida's going to say yes to four more years of President Donald Trump in 2020. But it's going to take all of us to do it. Let me tell you. Let me hang on one second here. Is she okay? Okay, you got her? Take a minute. Thank you for coming out there. You know, I've known this president over the last 4 years. Some people think we're a little bit different. But we've gotten to be very close friends. I've seen him when the cameras are off. And I'm going to tell you, folks, there's never been a day gone by in the last 3.5 years that President Donald Trump hasn't gotten up and fought to keep the promises that he made to the people of Florida and the people of America. Now it's our turn to fight for him. It's on. 24 days to make the case. So keep bringing all your enthusiasm. Keep voicing your support. Keep telling your neighbors and friends across the Sunshine State and all across the country all that we've accomplished. Talk to them at work and at worship. Go out and tell the story the way you did in 2016. You know, I'll never forget. I was on one of those Sunday morning shows just before the election 4 years ago. And all the polls said that the president was going to lose. Right? And Hillary Clinton was already announcing who her cabinet picks were. You remember? They were measuring the curtains in the Oval Office. And I'll never forget, I was on one of the shows. And the host looked at me and he asked almost in a sympathetic tone, he said, "What do you think's going to happen?" And I looked at him and I said, "I think we're going to win." And he was a little shocked. "Really?" He like said to me, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because I don't care about the polls. Only one poll that matters." And the fact was, I was out traveling around the country. The president was traveling around the country. And he'll be back on the road here in Florida come Monday. Get ready. But I said, he was traveling around the country drawing tens of thousands of people. And I was traveling drawing literally hundreds of Americans. But it was all the same people. And I... Thank you. But it was, I said to this host, I said, all I can tell you is what I'm seeing across the country. Every time I look across a rope line, every time I wave from the car, every time I have a chance to stop and talk to people, I said, it's the American people just knew. They heard the vision this president had of a strong and prosperous America. They heard his distinctly American leadership. They heard those leadership qualities coming through. And they were talking to one another. I just knew it. They were turning down the sound on the TV, not listening to the commentators and the pundits. And they were remembering, you know, the most powerful media in America is not your major television networks. It's not your big newspapers. It's not even your social media. The most powerful media in America is word of mouth. It's when the American people hear from you, they hear what you believe in your heart of hearts is important to them and their family and the state and the nation. So I encourage you, just go out and let your voice be heard. And when you're speaking, speak boldly and confidently. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is a freedom-loving nation. And you go talk to your neighbors and friends, your Republicans, your independents, your Democrats, and you tell them that freedom is on the ballot. And I truly do believe a study of American history shows every time the American people have been given a clear choice between a future built on more freedom and a future built on less freedom. The American people choose a future of freedom every single time. So have faith in your neighbors and friends. And go out and talk to them about the choice we face. And lastly, in the days now between now and the election, if you're inclined to exercise that other kind of faith, I encourage you to do that too. You know, the sweetest words the President and I ever hear when we're traveling around the country is when people will look out, reach across a rope line, maybe put the hand next to their cheek and just say, "I'm praying for you." And we hear it a lot. Everywhere I've gone the last 4 years traveling around this country, I'm convinced of two things. This is a freedom-loving nation, and this is a nation of faith. And so in the 24 days we have between now and Election Day, as you let your voice be heard, as you help tell our story, as you make sure to get out and vote, and all your neighbors and friends get out and vote, if you're inclined to bow the head and bend the knee, I encourage you to do that too. And when you pray, pray with confidence that if His people, who are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and turn, He'll do like He's always done. In the long and storied history of this nation, He'll hear from heaven and He'll heal this land, this one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So pray for America. Pray for all the American people. It'll make a difference. So I want to thank you all for coming out again today, and I want to thank you for the great privilege of being your vice president these last 3.5 years. It's the greatest honor of my life. And I'm absolutely convinced if all of us do all that we need to do between now and November 3rd, we work like it depended on us, and we pray, we're going to have a great American victory on November 3rd. We're going to make Florida and America stronger than ever before. We're going to make Florida and America more prosperous than ever before. And with Rick Scott and Marco Rubio in a renewed Republican majority in the Senate, with Daniel Webster in a new Republican majority in the House of Representatives, with President Donald Trump in the White House for 4 more years, and with God's help, we're going to make America great again. Again. Thank you all very much. God bless you, and God bless America.
That's it for this evening, but thank you very much for listening. And that was a really fine speech by Vice President Pence, and he's really been a big asset for our Trump during his term of office. Thank you for listening. Good night.